Okay, we'll start the shiur, and I will tell. And,
that's a big question.
And I'll tell you a very short story. How I'm getting to the point that I'm sitting here and talking to you about Torah. It wasn't always like this. Around 21 years ago, my mother died on Motze Yom Kippur. That is a few days ago, 21 years ago, and. This really, you know, God sometimes wants to tell us things and we don't always listen. And sometimes we need to have a knock at the head so we wake up, a wake-up call, and we'll start organize our stuff together. So what was happening is, my brother came to me and told me, you know, we need to learn Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, the whole Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, to learn them in a year. It's a Ilui Neshama. So I said, okay, you know what, problem, I ordered from the shop the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah with Perush Kehati. Kehati is very, it's very nice, everybody can read it and understand it. And when it was brought to me home, I saw this big case with so many books. I says, who is going to do this? It's not for me. And I really was cooling off the idea. Then my brother came to me and he gave me a list that you learn the whole Shisha Sidrei Mishnah through a year, organized by days. So every day you learn
a little bit.
So I told him myself, and you see this list, he says, okay, well, it's not for me. He says, you know what, let's start. So I started, it was around 15 minutes. I did a V, and then I did another day, another V, and always I looked at what I did and not what is left. And when you look at what you did, suddenly you find out, wow, you did a whole section, and then another one, wow, you did a whole Seder, oh, you did five books, six books, and you get this good feeling. And this thing taught me a big lesson in life. All big things start with small steps. And if you look at a big thing, always cut it into pieces. Because if you look at something big and you want to do it, you will get, it's impossible. You cannot do it. So how do you do it? You take it, cut it into pieces, and then you do piece by piece, step by step, step by step, and you can do unbelievable things. You know, a few years ago I met one who was the, how do you say, he was in charge about the high school. He was the principal of the high school where I learned. It's about the yeshiva and a high school. And one of the jokes that was running around at that time in my school is that there is nothing to take down anymore about me. Because each time you didn't prepare your homework, one of the teachers used to take you a mark down. So with me, he got to a place where there was nothing to take down anymore. So each time he went into class, they all shouted to him, nothing to take down anymore. And this is how people remembered me. Oh, here comes this, we say kaitana, how do you say kaitan?
Kindergarten.
No, kaitana. Kaitana, it's like... He comes the camper, like the...
Child camper.
Whatever.
So, always, this is how they remembered me. And one time,
where was it?
In here in Israel. Oh. I was born in Israel. My parents were born in Germany. I was born in Israel, in Petach Tikva.
Okay.
And I never forget one time, this principal he was teaching us also a certain subject, and one time in front of the whole class he says, nothing is going to come out of you. And I start laughing. Because first of all, I think it was a chutzpah to say a thing like this in front of the whole class. And he got so aggravated and he couldn't stand anymore, he says, get out. So I got out. And then he went down one floor where the rabbi was manager, who was, let's say, the big guy of, he was the manager of everything. Yeshiva. Yeah. He was the Rosh Yeshiva.
Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah. And He couldn't, he was so angry, so he called, you come with me. And he says, wait here outside. And he goes into the rough inside. And suddenly I hear a shout. Either me or him. One of us has to leave this place. Now, what was it? They see, the yeshiva used to buy all the chairs and tables from us, from my father. Now, he owes a lot of money to my father. So he couldn't just throw me out, because then he had to pay all the money that he owes my father. So he had a problem. But he, the principal, was so angry, so he says, either me or him, one of us is there. So the, he, and he comes out and he runs up the stairs, and the rabbi comes out 2 minutes later. He says, Gadi, do me a favor. No, it was, let's say, 2 weeks before the end of the year. Say, take holiday from now. He says, no problem. I take holiday from now. So this is what I was. And you know, when I tell this story to people, I'm telling them, you don't know the powers you have inside you. There are unbelievable powers that you have inside you. And those powers, you have to take them out. So, at that year, when I started learning the Mishnah, one guy came to me in our shul, Alav Shalom, and he says, look, there is a very big Indian if you say a Mishnah after davening. It's Ilui Neshama. So, read a Mishnah. I said, you know what? Okay, I read a Mishnah. So, I start reading a Mishnah. You know what? You read a Mishnah, there's a few clever people, these things are lawyers, accountants, no, it's not like peasant, and they start asking questions. I was just reading the Mishnah, asking questions, I don't know the answers. So then I realized I cannot just read the Mishnah, I have to learn it. So I start learning the Mishnah and giving a shiur. And this way it was developing. I was sitting with a guy, by the way, from South Africa, and he now is in the state, Trevor Metz. I don't know if you know the family Metz, never mind. Trevor Metz, and he was a very nice guy. And we used to learn together Chavruta, because he was a, he had a business and he went bankrupt, never mind, we were sitting and learning. And then he got this big job, and we still were sitting learning, but then they offered him a job in the States, and he had to do it, because you know, those big firms, if you say, I don't want to go, so they says, okay, if you don't want, we don't need you at all, because we need people that want to go up all the time. And then he asked me, you know what, on Friday you give a Dvar Torah on Parashat Shavua, write it to me and send it to me. He says, write it to you,
do my homework.
Yeah, right. But you know, he's a good friend, and I started writing. It was very hard in the beginning. And then it become this page that I take out every week. And it become a book. And things were developing, and I found myself giving shiurim. I'm cutting this long story short, giving shiurim here and there. And everywhere I come, when people come to me, I cannot do this, I cannot do this, I tell them the story or a part of the story, telling them you don't know what you can do unless you start, and you start with one step, and you really don't know the powers you've got inside you. God gave each one of us unbelievable powers, and we have to use them. And this is exactly now the opportunity when we start a new year after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the whole procedure of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it only started. Because people think that after Yom Kippur, oh, okay, now we can come down, we finished it, let's start the year. But it's so untrue. The Rav Nevenzahl says, it's like a guy that stands in front of an operation. So on Chodesh Elul is before the operation, he has to prepare himself in a certain way in order to be able to stand in front of the committee that's going to check if he can go through the procedure. You know, not everybody can go through an operation, especially if it's an important operation, for example, like you had a problem with your heart and you need, how do you say, bypass. So then you come to the committee and they check you. And he says, okay, you can go through the procedure to the operation, but you have to now to have for a few days a special diet and do special things in order when you come to the, and on the day of the, you are not allowed to eat. You have to fast on the day of the operation. And then you get to the operation, you fasted this day, and Baruch Hashem, the operation is successful. Now I want to ask you a question. What is this whole thing about? The operation, or what's happening after the operation?
After.
This is exactly what we went through. The procedure was Rosh Hashanah, the committee checked us. And they said, you know what? You're in the middle. But if you try 10 days and do this and do this, slichas here, something here, good things, good deeds, you can go through the operation, which is Yom Kippur. But you have to fast that day, because otherwise we cannot do the operation. Now, Baruch Hashem, we went through Yom Kippur, and the operation was very successful. We're sitting here. So now, we have to show God that we do something. Now we have to wake up, and this is
Sukkot.
You know, when you take the laws according regarding Rosh Hashanah, Elul, Yom Kippur, you get a thing like this. If you take the laws, the halachos of Sukkot,
it's
four times and even more than all the halachos of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Aset Yemei Tshuva, and Elul. Why? Because God wanted us to show Him that we come back to Him. You know, we say that we sit in the Sukkot because of Ananei Kavod, because of the cloud that were surrounding us in the desert. So there is one opinion that said the reason is that because Ananei Kavod were going with us through the desert, so now we sit in Sukkot. But then there is a problem, because when did the cloud surround us? When we went out of Egypt, which was on Pesach time. So really we should sit in the Sukkot and eat matzah. That's what we should do. So why don't we do it on Pesach time? So they say, no, in Pesach time is spring, is a nice time, and people go out of their homes and sit in sukkahs outside enjoying the weather. So this is, nobody will realize that they do it because of a mitzvah. So this is why our sages decided to do it on Tishrei, which is already the days that starting raining and thing. So people normally sit at home and don't go out. And if you go out, it shows that you're doing a mitzvah. But you know, it's very nice, but really? You know, here in Israel, when we sit in Sukkot, there is no rain, Baruch Hashem, normally. Sometimes it's a few drops, but it's a very nice weather. And if you're asking me about warm or... sometimes the Sukkot is very warm. So, what's the idea? So, the Gaon Mevilna gives another explanation, which is for us a little more reasonable. The cloud started to surround Am Yisrael when they went out of Egypt. But there was a certain time when they stopped. You know when? After the golden calf. When they sinned, the cloud went away. And then, when did they come back?
After Moshe had talked Hashem into excusing us.
Almost on the first day of Sukkot. Let's see what's happened. Moshe Rabbeinu, after the sin, goes up to God, asks His forgiveness. After God says, you know what, you were forgiven, and this is Yom Kippur. So he goes down. And he tells the people, we have to build a temple for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they all run and do it. And I want to stop for a minute and tell you a story. Imagine to yourself, Russia of Stalin. And you know, at that time, sometimes kids used to tell on their parents that they're not going according to what they're supposed to do. It was terrible times. And imagine to yourself that this son goes to the comrade, don't know who, and tell him, you know, my father, he secretly davens to God, and he does this, and he lays tefillin, and he did brit to a grandson, and the KGB comes, takes the father, Baruch Hashem didn't kill him, but sent him to Siberia. 20 years is in Siberia. And he's being released. He comes back home. And his son is waiting for him. He's asking his forgiveness. Father, I did a mistake. What do you think? Is he going to forgive him?
Yes.
Why? Because he is his son. But is the relationship between them going to be the same?
Never.
This guy betrayed his father. And it was... It could have been ended with killing his father, tortured, who knows what else. 20 years in Siberia. We stand in front of God. What did we do the whole year? Were we exactly right? Were we righteous people? Did only mitzvahs? No, here and there we insulted the guy. Here we did, were angry about this thing, and we're shouting, and we did this, and we did that. We betrayed our father. And we come on Yom Kippur and says, Father, forgive us. So Father forgives. But is the relationship the same?
No.
So what do we do that we'll have the same relationship? We run and start building the sukkah. We run and buy arba minim. We run and prepare things for Yontov. And we make sure that we're not the only one ready. We make sure that also the poor are going to have what they need for sukkahs. And this is what happened after Yom Kippur, after the sin of the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu went down, says, we're building now a Mishkan. They all ran. In 2 days, they brought so much that Moshe Rabbeinu said, stop, we don't need anymore. And the next day, they built the Mishkan. God saw, wow, this is really, they are really regretting about all the bad they think, and they're doing tshuva. And this is a big tshuva, like today, really running. So I'm going to bring them back, the clouds. My love is going to be now the same as it was before they sinned. And this is why Sukkot is called Zman Simchateinu. The only Yom Tov that is called Zman Simchateinu. We have to be by law happy on Sukkot. And it's the only Yom Tov that is written in the Torah, Zman Simchateinu. We have to be happy all the time. But what is the Simcha? The Simcha is that our Father not only forgave us, but He, on Sukkot's day, brings back the relationship that was before we sinned. Is this not a reason to be happy? So this is, let's say, I think, a much nicer reason for sitting in the Sukkah according to the clouds. Because the clouds came back on the first day of Sukkot. And I want to talk about another thing that is also about Sukkot. Sukkot is also about being together, everybody. The sinners, the tzaddikim. You know, we have the four Arbat Aminim. We have the Lulav, we have the Etrog, we have the Arava, we have the Adas. They say the Etrog is against the tzaddik because it's got taste and it's got a smell. The Lulav is against those who have, let's say, no taste, no Torah, but they have a smell, they do good deeds. The Adas is against those who have got, the Lulav is against those who have Torah and no good deeds, no smell, doesn't smell, but the fruit of the Lulav is very tasty. The Adas is got smell, but no taste. It's got Ma'asim Tovim, good deeds, but no Torah. And the Arava, no taste and no smell. In other words, the Arava is the symbol of the Rasha. So I want to ask you a question. Let's take the Tzaddik. If I stand only with the Tzaddik, with the Etrog, and do the blessing, am I going to be Yoitze?
No.
I'm going to take also the Lulav and the Adas, but the Arava, the Rasha, I take him out. Am I going to be Yoitze?
No.
Why? Ta'anit, there is a problem, no rain. Says the Mishnah, Kol ta'anit she'en ba miposhei Yisrael, eina ta'anit. If there is a fast, and there are not also the Rishayim, poshei Yisrael, that is not a fast. It's not going to work. Unbelievable. I need the Rasha with me in order that the rain will come? Then the Ketoret, you know what the Ketoret is? What he used to bring.
Incense.
the incense. And in incense, one of the incense that you used to bring on the temple, it was one of the, they say that the smell was so unbelievable that women didn't need perfume in Jerusalem, because it was the whole, the Jerusalem was smelling so good when you went in because of the incense, because of this Torah. You know, one of the things that is in the incense is called chelbona. The chelbona by itself, it's got a terrible smell. Terrible smell, you cannot smell it. So terrible it is. But you have to put it together with the other parts of the Torah. Otherwise, you won't have this unbelievable smell. What does this teach us? Am Israel is one unit. The tzaddikim, the benoinim, the reshaim, also on Pesach. Who is sitting with us on Leil HaSeder? The Rasha. What do we need the Rasha on Leil HaSeder? So now we start realizing that the Torah is really telling us our power is when we are united. If we're not united, we haven't got the power of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is built for klal. Each one of us is an individual that belongs to a klal.
So when the rabbis say the reformer and not Jewish,
you see, if he is Jewish, he cannot escape of it. But when he talk about the reform and not Jewish, talk about the reform as a religion. Reform as a religion, it's got nothing to do with being Jewish. The same way as Christian, and by the way, Jesus was Jew. And the first people who went after him, followed him, they were Jewish. But he didn't make them Jewish.
Peter and Paul were
They Jews. Are Christians. The same way is each one who takes himself out of the Torah, and he can call it whatever he wants. By the way, the Christians also have what they call Yehudim Meshichiim. Yeah. Are they Jewish?
No.
No. Definitely not. So in other words, when we talk about Am Yisrael, we talk and everyone who wants to be with us. The Rasha sits on the Seder night. The Levona is a part of the Ktoret. The Arava is a part of Arba'at Aminim. And we should not tell the Arava go away and not the Rasha to go away. Our interest is also the reforms. We want them, not the person behind. We want him to come back to see the truth. And you know, it's so terrible. People don't realize. You know, when you think that you are Jewish and you go in the reform movement, you will never ever come to the truth. Nevertheless, you will lose what you've got. Because they wanted to do a few years ago, I don't know, 100 years or whatever, to the Temple Emmanuel in the state, which was the biggest reformed temple in the world. They couldn't find one Jew. Third generation, they couldn't find one Jew from those who started this minion. Why? Because if you do what you want and you call it religion, so okay, I want to eat pork. I've got no problem. I am reformed. I can decide what I'm doing. I want to do this. I want to drive on Shabbos. I want to eat on Yom Kippur. No problem. Do whatever you want. By the way, it's very interesting that if you look at the reform movements today, they're trying to adjust themselves to us. I don't know if you saw it, but I listened to one of them. And on Tisha B'Av, for example, they were fasting, some of them. I don't know if all of them, I'm sure not. But like they were talking in a way that they're really trying, you know, God works in mysterious way. They were running away from everything and now they're trying to stick. Now, you tell me, what do they care about the Kotel? The Kotel Maravi, Bet HaMikdash, what do they care? They themselves, I don't know if how many years ago, 100 years ago, or 50, 70 years ago, they took out from the Seder Yerushalayim. They took it out of the Seder, of the praying book. And now suddenly they want a part of it? So it just shows you. But again, the idea of Sukkot is to be together. So if you meet somebody who is reformed, you must tell him, I don't agree with your opinions. This is not being Jewish. I love you as a Jew, as a person. And I would like to show you the right way, if I can. No, you know, if you can't, leave it. Because, you know, sometimes you can get involved in things that you don't know what to answer, and instead of doing good, you're doing bad. So we have to be clever enough to know when to answer and when not to answer. But the idea of Sukkot is, we sit with the Arava. On Pesach, we sit with the Rasha. This is the idea, to be united. And this is Am Yisrael. It's the same way as you have an illness in part of your body. So what, you're going to cut it off and throw it away? You're going to try to make it better, to heal it. And this is, you know, Sukkot is also a beautiful, you go out of your house and you go out, and then everybody is equal. You know, your beautiful house, or you're poor, or you're rich, we all sit in a sukkah. You know, somebody will tell, okay, you know, you have sukkahs and you have sukkahs. You know, in England, I have a family in England, they have sukkahs that they have an air condition inside, and heater, and it's a whole, like a whole with carpets and whatever. So, you know, sukkahs today don't look exactly as the sukkahs that the Gemara is talking about, but the idea is very simple. You leave everything and you go out to understand and realize that this world is temporary, like the sukkah. And what we're waiting for is for the next world. We prepare ourselves here. And the feeling of being together outside, realizing that this world is a temporary world as the sukkah. And from the other side, you have to see the stars through the schach to be connected to the nature, because nature is God. So what a beautiful yontov God gave us 2 minutes after Yom Kippur. So the only thing we have to do is grab those mitzvahs and show God that we love Him the same way He loves us. Because, you know, it's so easy. You know, as a kid, and I'm sure that each one of us, if they will ask us, what is the nicest yontov you remember? What would it be? Sukkot. So this is also how God shows His love. He gave us this beautiful mitzvah. Not, you know, imagine to yourself that after Yom Kippur would give us, let's say, a mitzvah that is, I don't know, you choose the most hard thing to do. You have to prove Him kibud orim. You have to start davening 10 hours. You have to I don't know what, give charity $1,000 each day. Now, everybody can choose whatever he wants. But not, God gave us those easy mitzvahs. Not only easy, beautiful, happy mitzvahs. Who doesn't like to go a little out to change the atmosphere, to sit with the whole family, to sit with our spizim? And they say that the clouds were defending those who believed in God. But those who didn't, He used to take them out. And the same thing is with the sukkah. When we believe in God and we sit in the sukkah, says in the mizmor that we say day and night, the David Hashem Oriv Yishi, Kitz Peneni Besuko, we will feel that God is with us. You know, the halacha says, and with this we end this shiur for now. The halacha says that the sukkah is kosher if you have two dfanot, two walls, and one tefach. One tefach is around, let's say, 7 centimeters, 8 centimeters, 10 centimeters. So I saw a beautiful, the Rav Pinkus Zatzal says, how is it? One wall, second wall, and the tefach. This is God hugging us in the sukkah. And that's the beautiful mitzvah of sukkah. So the procedure is now moving to the high, to the highlight of this whole period, which is going to be Simchas Torah. When we realize, understand how happy we have to be with God and how happy God is with us. So we should all have a great yontov, a great zman simchateinu. You know, the Ask the Gaon Mevilna, what is the toughest mitzvah in the world? And they were telling, maybe it's kibud avayim. It's very tough. Where is this? Is that? He told him, you know what is the toughest mitzvah? Besamachta bechagecha. To be happy on Yom Tov. And you think he's joking? Think about it. To be now, for 7 days, happy. The kids did something wrong to me. I went to Jerusalem and I had a puncture. I banked the car. I banked, and I have to be happy. I'm going to the kotel. I'm standing in this line for 2 hours in order to get to the kotel. I'm going into market and people are pushing me. And I have to be happy. So it's not so easy. So first of all, I hope that we all will succeed to be happy in this Yom Tov. Amen.
What happened when your friend Trevor received his lecture that you did?
We are still going on with it till now.
He didn't have to deliver it.
He wanted to read it. He wanted to read what I wrote. And by the way, it developed also now that I'm recording those things. And the big thing is that, really, that is, if you will ask somebody who knew me 40 years ago, he will, and you tell him that I gave you a lesson, says, he will laugh you in your face. Says, he gave you a lesson? Ma piton. Cannot be. But yes. So what does it mean? That everyone can. Everyone can. We have these powers. And let's use them.
What is your name?